You know, that's how OnlyFans really got started.
Well, you know, I think it was all a advertising ploy to get more action.
This is true.
Lack of the pun. Welcome to a special episode of Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified with your host, Eric Taylor, and myself, Shiva Maharaj. Today, we are going to be going into the meetings of the tech executives and powerhouses of people who won't change shit and their meeting with President Biden. And we're going to unpack it from there, even though we already did this on May 17th of 2021 when the first executive order was given out. So I guess, Eric, we were ahead of their time and the 24-hour news cycle needed a shot in the arm.
Yep. Do you too? Much like a vaccine. Is this like a booster?
I guess so. I think we'll call this the booster episode.
Where are we
starting here today, sir?
So I guess we'll kind of recap, I guess, and say, okay, this again, back on May 19th May 12th, thank you, was the executive order from President Biden informing all government agencies they must comply with a certain level of compliancy, including MFA, you know, NIST 800-171, just all the things. You know, since then, everybody has come out, it was like, oh, well, MSPs must get, you know, CMMC, they must do this, they must do that. But yeah, you know, we've talked about it several times at nauseum. MSPs, the public sector is not required to conform to this executive order.
Or specifically only the government sector has to conform, and CMMC is only for the DOD and their business partners.
And CMC is not fully vetted or is not fully read in and fully approved yet. If I understand some of the stuff, last I heard, there was supposed to be like a quote unquote final reading of the law, the bill at the end of September. And, you know, if that went through, then CMMC would be quote unquote official.
You know, I think it's a good thing that it hasn't been finalized yet because in my opinion, technology moves too quickly for compliance to keep up. So with all these meetings of the big wigs who, as I said, aren't going to do jack shit in the long run with the president, if we can get some kind of effect in towards CMMC where it makes it better, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have an issue is, and I skimmed through this because we've been inundated with questions. It looks like the president has tasked NIST to really get together with, what was it, IBM, Google, Microsoft, and Apple,
mm-hmm.
to put together some baseline compliances to do this, do that, or what have you. Why not use CMMC? Why not have a single compliance regime, let the DOD audit their people and whoever they do business with, let CISA or a division of CISA or Mr. Inglis, who's now, you know, his CISO, let him stand up a department to audit the private sector for CMMC. CMMC civilian.
So, I mean, like we said, you know, CMMC is for the DOD. There's been a lot of folks that have said, you know, what about, I think even the DOJ was talking about it. Maybe it was the FBI. DHS. Thank you. Was talking about, sorry, I'm reading so many articles lately. I'm forgetting who writes what anymore.
It's all the same shit, man.
But they're going to do a CMMC like version for the public sector. But even in this one, you know, they're talking about, you know, the NIST framework. They're not saying which compliance they're going to go through, which I'm going to assume is 800-171. But I just want to, you know, I want to take a massive step back. And we've talked about this at extensive nausea, but we're going to have to talk about it again. NIST is self-assertion. There's no compliance. There's no auditing of compliance for the framework. None.
So honestly, do you think big tech or any big company is going to want anything else away from self-attestation? I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's so easy to be like, oh, well, we conform to 70%.
Understand and accept the risk.
Yeah, we've seen this play out when CMMC was being developed and the DOD or the DOD primes and subcontractors were saying, oh, we need so much, it's going to cost us so much money to essentially implement 30 additional controls, is because they weren't even at the level of their self-attestation that they claimed to be.
But that's the beautiful part about self-attestation. If you really want to see how poor that model is, as I keep saying, look at HIPAA, look at CGIS.
You know, and I know we like to shit on Kaseya a lot, but they like to claim that they're CMMC compliant as well for their internal systems.
Oh boy. We're going down that road today, aren't we?
I told you, I'm piss.
All right, let's start with the vinegar. Piss and vinegar then. I'm going to rename myself to Piss. My name is Piss and my co-host is Vinegar.
Vinegar here.
Can we throw up the executive order, the White House rundown of the bullet points from yesterday's meeting?
Sure, absolutely.
Because there's some pretty interesting stuff in here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do want to say at least the White House is taking an active stance in doing something. My only real problem here is, what are the timeframes that are going to actually be held to?
Who knows? If we had the executive order here and there was compliancy timeframes, like 60 days,
100 days,
I mean, something at 60, I believe. Yeah. So within 60 days, you know, OMB was supposed to do their consultants. So I haven't seen any other timeline reporting come out of any of these things. You know, Homeland Security has 60 days to, you know, start doing some stuff.
Well, it's an actively evolving situation.
But isn't an executive order just that you must comply?
I would think so, or at least I would hope so.
So why isn't some of these announcements of compliancy coming out from the executive order?
You know, maybe the
past 60.
I think, you know, you got to give them time. They were caught on the back foot and maybe they need some time to roll this out. And telling people, hey, we don't have MFA rolled out across the board, is kind of a security risk, I would say. Mm-hmm. Not that the bad actors don't already know this, because of physical placement of assets as well as technical compromise. What I wanted to focus on are two bullet points here. The Biden administration announced that NIST will collaborate with industry and other partners to develop a new framework to improve the security and integrity of the technology supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. When's that going to happen? When's it going to be put into place? It's further down, I want to say midfold. First one, up, right there. There you go.
Yep.
And you can probably zoom in a little for the audience. Okay, when's this going to happen? This was announced 3 months ago, give or take, with the executive order of May 12th. Okay, fine. Rehash. The next one, Biden administration also announces formal expansion of the ICS cybersecurity initiative to a second major sector, natural gas pipeline. Okay, this is a clear result of Colonial.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what is the timeline? I'm happy these things are moving, but what's going on? And then the rest here is Apple announced, Google announced, IBM announced, Microsoft announced.
Amazon.
Great. That's all bullshit. No one cares what they're going to do because it's not really going to have long-lasting effect. What I found interesting here is there's a lot of talk about cyber insurance and using your posture to rate your risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the insurance companies are going to love self-attestation because it's going to allow them to say, do you fulfill these requirements? Joe Schmo is going to say, yes, we do. They're going to have an incident because they're idiots and didn't spend money the right way. And the insurance company is going to say, okay, show us where you had your checkbox compliance. And when you don't have it because of self-attestation, the insurance company will keep your policy premium and they will deny your claim, which is what I've been saying for the last God knows how long. But hey, no one listens to me. Why would they? I only make sense sometimes.
So is this going to be something that they're going to work bilaterally with the executive order, or are they going to wait for executive order and adoption of CMMC before, you know, these tech companies actually have any real traction?
Well, the major things for the tech companies are implement MFA, train your employees, which is stuff, let's be honest, they should have been doing for a couple of years now. It's nothing special, nothing great. Now, I also see here that you're going to have coding for girls. Great. I'm all for that. Then concept over 3 million students and 35,000 classrooms over 3 years. Listen, all this is all well and good, but there is a way to turn the big ship that is the United States cyber infrastructure and what have you, and have this done within 3 months, maybe four. All it needs is proper buy-in from the right people, and we can improve everything in 3 to 4 months. People will say I'm crazy. You know what? There are ways to do it.
Yeah, one thing that I've seen here, you know, what Comm Community College announced it is designated a new framework, you know, for cybersecurity. Is this a, because these folks are apparently in the mix of the conversation, are these guys and gals going to potentially inject their framework in replace of NIST for these big compliance? I really think, I'm with you. Something needs to be done, and I'm tired of freaking talking about it. Not us talking about it, but I'm tired of, you know, it seems like every couple of months or every couple of years, we're getting up on our soapbox and be like, change must happen. And
but it's easy.
Fucking ever gets done.
But it's far easier to say change must happen than actually affect change. Now, the problem I see with NIST and their God knows how many goddamn frameworks, CIS has their frameworks, HIPPO, the hippopotamus of piece of shit HIPAA, everyone has their framework. And I'll go back to the old adage of too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you have state frameworks and all these other things. And this goes back to why I like CMMC. 5 levels, even though I think 2 of them are pretty much bullshit and should be lost, but the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah. And I mean, those 2 that we're talking about, you know, 2 and 4 are really the quote unquote gateways to the next compliance level. But yeah.
Which is fine. If you're an idiot and you need that extra help to not get anywhere, hey, more power to you.
But yeah, I just think something needs to be done, you know, whether it's a CMMC light just to remove, you know, classified controlled information out of CMMC,
because it
doesn't apply.
I think it should apply, because here's a beautiful part about having one compliancy. Let's say you don't have any clients in the DIB, but you're a CMMC level 5, because I don't expect you to be a 1 or 2 or even a 3 for long, quite honestly. And you have the opportunity to go bid a contract for someone in the DIB. You're already there in terms of compliance. So let's have one compliance. Let's have a civilian oversight body and let's have a military oversight body.
Yeah. Before we get a bunch of trolls, let's just make this thing clear. You can do your self-acetation above a level 3 up to level 5. And be self-acetated for level 5 and just wait for your government sponsorship to be fully audited and accredited in. But there's nothing saying that you as a business can't hold yourself to a higher standard and self-acetate to that level. So,
and it all depends if Kaseya is offering level 5 too.
Oh, fuck me.
Now, here's
Kaseya for 1 second before we go back to this topic. Has anything new come out from those shitbags?
Yeah, I get emails once a week from them saying, hey, let's teach you how to be more efficient and secure. And I just sit here and I laugh.
Yeah, we're the most secure platform ever. No, I don't think so. But anyway,
back to the shit show that is all this stuff. Now, I posted a tweet and I tagged POTUS, and I really don't think he gives a shit or is going to listen to anything I post on Twitter. But I basically said, hey, POTUS, why don't we ask the people who've asked for budgets, tools, and training who've been denied of what we should maybe be doing instead of actually going to the CEOs of these companies where there's going to be a game of telephone and no one's actually going to do anything?
Yeah, it's all a dog and pony show. You know, and this is what I keep saying. I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of everybody getting together and stroking each other off and making each other feel good to make it look good for show. I mean, it's so fucking political that it drives me nuts. You know, I want to be moving in a direction. I mean, pick one and let's fucking go there. Right. It's not that, it cannot be that damn hard.
There's no money in that. There's a lot of people that need to eat out of that trough. And all these meetings, all these conversations cost money. And a lot of people are getting paid.
I mean, I know Palachek has helped a ton of MSP startup companies, you know, and he is doing something or another with the state of California trying to come up with theirs, but that's only going to be enhancing of government state regulations from what I've read. That's not going to be sponsored into any sort of national framework, right?
It's got to be something federal, man. We're 50 countries rolled into one here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a California compliancy like that. You can't have a New York, New Jersey, where just because it's not going to work. What happens if you're doing business in two states? What happens if, consider this, you're in DC, you operate in DC, Virginia, and Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to deal with three sets of rules and what have you?
I do. I have to.
I get that you do, but wouldn't it be better if there was a federal compliancy that was accepted by every state? And when I say federal, I don't mean federal government, but a compliancy regime that is accepted by all 50 states. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Your administrative burden will be relieved tremendously.
Yeah. And I think the only thing that really should change from a federal compliancy, if a state wanted to mandate a quicker notification timeline, you know, some of, you know, the states like the New York Shield Act is what, a 24-hour notice, I think.
You know, I think once you start making exceptions for other people, you're going back to the same problem we have right now. Too many compliances. I think find a time frame that everyone will stick to. Find something that will work for everyone.
So who are you going to think is going to be the driving force for this? Because clearly, you know, we've talked about it. Insurance companies are clearly not going to be the fucking driving force.
They are going
to. White House.
Sorry, go ahead.
The White House is clearly in a my dick is bigger than yours and let's stroke each other, you know, mindset. Who the F is going to put something together and move the ball forward?
So if I had to take a guess as to who is driving the show right now, it is big business and the insurance companies. And that is why NIST has been chosen to create the framework. They need that self-attestation. They want that self-attestation.
Oh, Hugh Goodman. You can't handle the truth.
And that's what they're saying, right? You can't handle the truth that we want you to self-attest so we can deny your policy or deny your claim.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be sad that if that's where we're going to end up hanging our hat, so to speak. You know, it's so, I mean, I guess it pisses me off because I'm so passionate about the security industry that I'm like, fuck, let's do something. You know, I mean, that's kind of why we're on this podcast. It's really the whole reason that we're talking about this crap. And, you know, I know both of us are a very small fish in a very, very
I'm a fucking guppy compared to some of the people out there. Are you kidding me?
So we got to do something.
A buddy of mine texted me this morning. He's like, hey, when are you guys going to do a podcast on NIST and the cybersecurity framework and requirements from out of the White House? And I'm like, dude, we did this back in May.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 11, whoever's listening.
Link is in the show notes. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, we'll put the link up at the top thing.
Are we ahead of our time? Or ahead of everyone else's time?
I think to some degree. So, I mean, you and I both are pretty much, I mean, I'm still going through it, but you're a lot farther along the line from our private conversations further along the line of the CMMC compliancy than I am. Just cause I'm a busy, you know, 28 hour a day workday some days, but, I think at least for those who are going through CMMC, even though it's not fully ready, it's not fully approved or whatever, but at least starting to go down this framework. And if CMMC doesn't get approved and it's something else that gets approved, so fucking be it.
Dude,
so many companies.
It's so much overlap with all these compliances.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You do any one of them, you're going to get 60, 80% of the way through most of them.
If companies will go into this thing, and this is kind of why I like CMMC to a degree, you're going into a compliancy framework, knowing that you're going to have your ass audited. You're going to have to answer to somebody about what you're doing. So going into any framework with that mindset, they're going to make a change, I think.
I want to see them get rid of the "we've identified the risk and we accept the risk" answer.
Yeah.
Because that is just a steaming pile of shit. But what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, and this is what a lot of companies, you know, our clients and our prospects are going to have to understand. Prices for IT and cybersecurity services are going to go up because we have to align with businesses that align with these frameworks. And that, like, let's just take, we talked about Kaseya, we've talked about RMMs, we've had guests from RMM shows on here and PSAs and all that. But if we have to go to our tool set, we have to migrate to those who support actual logging and do all these things in order to be compliant with these frameworks. Most of these things are not what they call channel programs. They are more of an enterprise program, which means more money. Therefore, the cost is going to pass through. So people have got to get ready and prepared for that.
The only way you're going to get them ready for that is if the fines outweigh the cost.
No.
And that truly is the barrier to security in this country. And I'm sure it's the same in other countries, but we're here. What do we care about the others? Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, all the other countries don't really give a whole lot of shit about us. So why should we care about them?
Exactly. So, I mean, you're not wrong, dude. You're not wrong. But my thing is, let's have an actionable time frame that we're going to stick to, not a, hey, let's aim for this. And then 2 years later, you're still holding your dick in your hand.
Exactly. That's what I'm bitching about. Let's stop talking and let's fucking act.
What do you think is the first thing they should do? And by they, I mean, let's say the president or anyone who can make this change across cybersecurity in this country.
I think the biggest thing that would be a big benefit is incorporate an auditing firm for NIST.
I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Mandate that every piece of software must offer MFA at no extra charge from a regular subscription to an enterprise, because, you know, that's the game they like to play for that in SSO. But also say every vendor has to provide MFA, and they have to do it by this date. How quickly will the market move? And if you don't do it, it's this penalty per user account.
And mandate every user have an MFA.
Yeah.
Or they get their account suspended.
No, just keep taxing them or fining them. Put the IRS in charge.
Oh, God. You know, they just did hire like 30, 40 or 86,000 more people to go after more tax records. So they got plenty of people over there.
My point is, you can do this. Like, you're calling Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Apple, and say MFA. Well, make it across the board. What happens to software made by Joe Schmo, who gets an API connection into 365, but, and that's an admin API connection, because why else would you want to connect? But there's no MFA there. So you get in and you abuse the API.
Mm-hmm.
What good is the Microsoft MFA?
Yeah. And that's really a lot of the crutch, right? Cause I mean, you've got to, know, the whole point of API is to create that integration, but you know, we have a lot of people, including our buddy Ryan Weeks, or not Ryan Weeks, but Datto, the
CISO.
Yeah.
Ryan Weeks.
Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, okay. Sorry, brain fart. I need more coffee. But yeah, Ryan Weeks has even talked about, even on the cyber call and a couple other ones, you know, and there's been many other people, but I fully agree with them that, you know, you've got to audit your APIs. You know, I did a bug bounty. I think I talked about it on one of the other episodes, maybe I never recall, but, not a bug bounty, but a penetration test not too long ago, where I created my own app in Microsoft, you know, just made up some stupid thing and sent it over, and three of the admins approved my application, and I had full domain rights into their tenant.
Yeah. But why is the admin even allowing that? That should be switched off.
Well, I mean, you got to allow, somebody's got to allow it, but.
And that's where they should build in secondary approvals.
Yeah. Pipeline stuff.
But then again, you kill out most of the MSPs out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what else about this new but old action on NIST? Anything there, or we have something else to move on to?
No, that's pretty much it for today, I think. I really feared that in a couple months, we're going to just be hashing up the same damn conversation again, and I'm just going to get even more pissed off.
Well, at least we can say, ladies and gentlemen, please refer to Escalate, Exfiltrate, and Encrypt round 4 again.
Again. Episode 11, round 4. We're talking about this.
Top 3 things people should do right now, regardless of compliance regime, to secure themselves and their companies and their clients.
Incorporate MFA, SSO, and it's all Duo. Why not?
But that's too expensive. We have to spend money.
I mean, if you're an MSP, you know, you get that, you get your NFR with them, but.
But forget the MSP. Let's talk about end consumers, because you can't help MSPs. They'll just keep doing it the cheapest way. Oh, wait, they're just like customers. Never mind.
You know what? I mean, MFA, SSO, if able to, always go that route. And port scan yourself and your customers. Find out what's open. Investigate it. Does it really need to be open?
BarricadeCyber.com. He'll do it for you. He will, hold on, for those looking, let me put up the air quotes. He will help you, for a fee, to check your perimeter. The only thing on top of that I would add is at least start collecting your logs, whether it's an EDR or a SIM. Even if you're not doing anything with it, at least post-incident when you do get popped because of your lax security, you'll have something to refer to.
Yeah, I can't tell. I mean, we talked about on the last episode that so many times we get pulled into incident response situations where there's no logging, and we, you know, except for the threat actor, and we know from trade what they're doing. That's all we go off of, right? So,
yeah, please. Oh, just as they have to live off the land, so do you as an IR guy.
Yeah.
Now, if there's nothing there, it's famine. If there's something there, maybe it's feast.
Thanks again so much, everybody, for tuning in. We really do appreciate y'all. If you have made it to the end of this episode, please like, subscribe on either YouTube or your audio podcast version of your choice. And please spread the word. Let everybody you know about us, and help this crazy, crazy show that we're putting together for you grow. Until next time, we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.